You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max. Na, 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 na.
Hi, Hannies. It's Amir Yasai, and you're back for season 2 of The Take On. Hi, everyone. It's Amir Yasai. You're back with The Take On. You're here with my good friend, Hannah Berner from Summer House, Burning in Hell podcast, Giggle Squad podcast, Bravo chat room. I mean, when the fuck do you sleep? Thank God, girl.
I mean, if you watch Summer House, I do sleep a lot. And they make it known.
but they really do.
Your girl is working. I mean, the shade. I'm like, I'm not just lying here sleeping all day. It's just a comfortable place to get my work done. I like to work horizontally.
It doesn't mean just because you're working horizontally, you're not working hard enough. And they make it seem like Danielle's like running Amazon. I'm like, hello.
No, we actually had a joke because I would like try to be doing a podcast, which like, let's be honest, I would do like 6 podcasts a week or whatever crazy stuff I was doing, but it's exhausting to perform and not just like be on a meeting. But I would like try to do a podcast and I'm like, Danielle's using all the Zoom internet. And I'd be like yelling at her. But I mean, I love how hard they're showing other people working. It's great.
They really do you dirty. I was like, I know, Hannah.
I haven't even explained my podcast yet that I even have one. Like, I literally went on this, like, I'm not going to be heated and I'm already getting heated, but yeah.
No, listen be to the podcast, heated.
Burning in Hell.
Be heated. Please, where it talks about, be heated.
But yeah, no, it's just, I feel happy that I can create content and try to make people laugh.
I mean, that's exactly what you're doing. And there, I was like yelling at the TV. I was like, I know she's working. Like, come on.
Well, Paige actually had a good quip because she was like, yeah, like I make money on Instagram and some people think I'm like dumb, but it's like, am I a genius? And I was like, yeah, like I used to be in corporate America and I realized I don't do well with authority and therefore I'm in a better space for myself.
There you go.
And I'm paying my rent, so no one worry about me.
Yeah, that's why I always tell people, I'm like, if you're not fucking me or paying my rent, don't have an opinion. Like, just leave it.
Oh my God,
100%. Just leave it. 100%. Just leave it. Speaking about booze, I want to talk about Duzz. He's so cute. Like, can we talk about Duzz? Let's start happy.
Oh my God, thank you. I sound like such a cornball, but I'm like madly in love.
Oh, I love it. It's usually, you're usually madly in love with the cats. So this is a good, this is new. I'm into it.
Yes. Yeah, so Dez was alone during quarantine. He started fostering pit bulls who were like abused or abandoned. And it's such a great thing I thought he was doing. But watching him like training these pit bulls who were like and like giving them love and then telling them like what they should do and directing them, whatever people do with dogs, I was so turned on. I was like, if he could handle this pit bull, he can handle me easy. Like I finally met the dude that could handle all of it. And now like we're living in West Hampton and we just have this house full of like animals, but it's just, I feel like animals bring so much joy to your life. And yeah, I am like nesting. It's kind of weird.
I love it. That's so cute. I never thought like when I talked to you, what was it like right before the pandemic and you've come so far. I feel like you grew up right in front of my eyes. Like what's
happening?
Oh my God,
thank you. I mean, I do feel like so many people throughout quarantine learned a lot about themselves. They were forced to be alone with their own thoughts. And I also, it's crazy, but yeah, I met someone during the pandemic and it's crazy to say like, when you know, but I was also forced to like really focus on what I do want to do career wise. And You just have a lot less distractions and you have a lot less people in your life that you like kind of don't need necessarily. And you get to really face some of your shit, which is hard. But I feel like it's been a great time for people to grow.
Absolutely. You're right. You don't have those like social, because I have like so much social anxiety. I'm like such a Gemini that not having that pressure like helped me to just like focus on my shit. Yeah. I feel you.
Same. 100%. I mean, there's also just like external people or people who are kind of like toxic that you can find yourself in all the time, whether it's someone at work who might be like mean to you or like a friend that's like kind of using you or whatever. But then you just like, I'm just with my parents and my cats and I'm like, okay, we're back down to the core. We're down to the homies. The ride or dies. However, we still have our own shit to work on. But yeah, I thank you for saying you thought I grew. That's a great compliment.
No, of course. I mean, you're so funny and you have such a way of like seeing the world, but the fact that like you're kind of willing to lean in and kind of be corny is refreshing. I like that.
Well, I think it's funny because some people try to like market me as like this cool girl and I'm like, I'm not cool. Let's not go there. I mean, I think I'm trying to make like the uncool girl cool again, like just the ones who are not trying to be a type of way or what society says is cool or hot or whatever. So I'm trying to embrace that.
Yeah, before I talked to you, I thought you were kind of like a Lala from Vanderpump Rules. And then when I talked to you, I was like, she's not like that at all. I was like, she's kind of a nerd. She's kind of a nerd.
I'm a corny nerd. I mean, Lala's like so hot and an icon, but like I'm not going on like yachts with hot men for blowjobs. Like I'm not like that level of hotness / don't care to do that.
Seems like a lot of work to me.
Oh my God. Yeah. Jesus. I also, yeah.
No. I'm good. I don't like Range Rovers that much. I'm good.
Like, I like older men clearly, but not to that extent.
But like, Dez is like that seasoned man. It's not like an older man. God. You know what I mean? Like, he's seasoned, and I think that's kind of hot. It's like a little salt and pepper. Yeah.
I've never dated a guy like older than 36 and he's 45 and I never even knew I wasn't really into the silver fox thing. I've always been into like tall guys with a great sense of humor who have blue eyes. That's just like kind of what I'd always go for. So when I met him, I didn't immediately think like, wait, is this, but I just, he was so just naturally, we just naturally connected. But it's so funny, like Us Weekly, I had an interview and they were like, so he's 45, like how is that, having 45? I go, I'm scared he's gonna die every day. It is petrifying. And I'm like obviously joking, and then the article comes out and it goes, Hannah Berner scared her boyfriend is gonna die. And I'm like,
oh my God. They're so shady, they're just waiting for that moment. That's
but I just didn't realize like there's something about older men where, I mean, he's like, I was a fuckboy before there was a name for it. He's like, I lived my life in my 20s, whatever. He's had some serious relationships. He's learned a lot through them. And part of me was sad, like, oh, I wish I experienced some of the things he experienced in his life with him when he was younger. But then I realized they've all made him into like this wiser person. Like, I have to be able to respect the person I'm with in terms of like how their brain works. And he's a great balance of like teaches me stuff, but also like I teach him stuff as well. It's not like I'm like, oh, Zaddy, what do? I'm a baby.
I mean,
some people are into that, which, like, you know, you never know.
Kudos. I mean, listen, you do you, but I mean, for me, the baby talk's never worked. But I mean, if it works for you, like, go with it.
Do you like older men?
I do. I mean, there's something about older men that I like because they're like, they don't care if you don't respond to a text message. Like, they don't care if you don't, like, you're not doing the daily routine. You know what I mean? They're like, you're going to come home anyway. You're going to come back to me. Like, they're so confident.
They have real things to worry about. Actually, very early on, I think I, like posted some story or something. Like, and at one point, Des basically was like, look, if you want to play games and stuff, like, that's cool. But, like, I don't play games, so, like, I'm not interested in that. I just remember getting my shit back in order real fucking quick. And I never do that with dudes. I'd be like, fuck you, whatever, who cares? But he basically was like, yeah, I don't play games, so if you want to, do that with someone else. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm stupid. I'm sorry. Let's just do this. I love you.
Oh, I love that. I mean, well, it's, like, something that we haven't heard before. Like, when I dated an older guy, it was the same thing. He was like, don't play games. Like, don't pretend to be interested. Don't, like, bring me into your life and then be unavailable. Like, he just called me on my shit.
Well, yeah. That's been done before.
I was trying to be cute and I was trying to be like, you know, like alluring. And he was like, it's not alluring. It's stupid. I was like, wow. Okay.
But then it forces you to actually like think and be like, what do I really want? And hold yourself accountable. And like, I love someone who calls me out on my bullshit. Like, it's very attractive to me.
Well, because we get away with it. Because the two of us get away with
charming.
It. Most people, we're charming. We get away with it. We're like, what, me?
I'm joking. Do you not know what a joke is?
Yeah, people don't see what I'm doing half the time. So when someone sees it, it's pretty attractive. That's for sure.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it. We get underestimated, but, you know, we know what we're doing. That's why I love you. You're the best. Let's talk about Summer House. This house is, like, kind of insane. It was quite an upgrade. Like, what the hell?
I know. What did you think? Okay, well, I mean, there are some things. This house is beautiful, but then the oven just didn't work. And then also, like, the Paige and I were put in the basement to even get to the kitchen. We had to walk up like 4 flights of stairs. And then if I was doing the garbage, to take out the garbage, I had to go down 2 flights of stairs. Then all those stairs in the front, you have to go down all of those. Like, it's a literal fucking journey.
Oh, God.
But I mean, the house was gorgeous, but there were just a lot of parts of it that I was like, I don't know who thought of this like logically. But I loved the like Paige said it best. I felt like we were in just like a cocaine dealer's mansion, and and there was a lot of space. I also liked kind of, we were put in the basement. I don't know how that happened. And we just had our own kind of space, except the boys would work out right outside our room, which like isn't that clear. So like when Luke and Kyle are like grunting at like 7:30 a.m. because they have to be on their Zoom meeting, well, not Luke, on whatever time, I'm like, are they fucking kidding me? Like, I'm waking up to hearing these boys grunt and make weird ass noises to make their masculinity feel better. Like, I can't.
Oh, God. That seems like a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that you said Luke had no Zoom calls. Yeah. What would he be on a Zoom call for? Nature? Squirrels? Rings? We're about to get real shady with that. We'll get there. You know how I feel. We'll get there. I want to talk about right off the top, right, with Lindsay, and she was on my friend's podcast. You were on my friend's podcast, Zach Peter. And I don't think it was anything that bad.
Oh my God.
Like, so, she was so upset.
Oh
like,
my
it
God.
Wasn't anything that bad.
So Zach was like going in basically like, so what do we hate about everyone or whatever? And I was just talking about first season. Like, she wasn't nice to me first season. It was just a fact. Like, that's just what it was. And I basically was like, I didn't want to be one of her like minions, because she's a Leo. I'm a Leo. Kyle's a Leo. We're leaders. And then I finished it off basically being like, but I learned like kind of her friend language. She wants to trust you. And like, we're doing amazing. Like, it really was taken out of context. And between me and you and everyone listening, she never brought it up to me. So it's not like it was a clear thing that I could be like, hey, Linz, like, I was just promoting the show. Like, we don't have to make a huge deal about it and exclude me from everything. But then also Zach, what he did to promote it, like, he pulled clips and was like tagging everyone and posted like me and Lindsay boxing in it. Like, he really kind of pushed it. So I just thought like, whatever. I didn't think it was a big deal. Also, because I'm going to say this right now, everyone goes on podcasts and talks about our opinions. That's what we do. That's what the show is us talking about our relationships. Lindsay just went on E and said, I'm a fair weather friend. So like, let's not be hypocritical. I'm talking everyone, not just Lindsay. Like, we're promoting the show. We're talking about our feelings. And I've always just been honest and open. So whatever.
Yeah. Like, and I also, do you think that she didn't bring it up to you because she wanted to save it for camera? Like,
who knows? Like, I'm not coming for your family, bitch. Like, if I said something really bad, you would have seen it. Like, it would have been everywhere. Like, I was just promoting the show and talking honestly about our first season. So but Lindsay and I, we're like, again, we're good. Like, that's just, Lindsay will get upset about something and then be fine. That's why I joked. I said, I'm still gonna talk shit about you. Like, like, you're gonna do things that are gonna make me upset and I'm gonna express it. So that's the life we live.
Yeah. And that's kind of what you signed up for in some ways. And like you said, when you go on a podcast, you don't go there to give like general opinions. You're giving your opinion.
And there really is a difference between talking shit and just saying something honestly of how you felt. And it also, like, I wasn't coming for her in any sense of the word. I just wasn't.
That's not your style. I haven't really seen you like do that.
No, I'm never, yet. I would never like go in on someone like that. And it's more how I feel and how people might have made me feel. I said to the thing, I said, if you don't want me talking shit, don't do things. Don't make me talk shit on you. Like, I mean, I have a big mouth in that I always express myself, but I'm always going to be honest and I'm never going to come for anyone, especially for no reason.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. Well, I listen, I'll co-sign that as well. I know you're not like that. Thank you, baby. I want to talk about the model elephant in the room. Can we talk about Mr. Luke? Like what? Okay, so your emotions were so real to me and everyone was like, oh, she's really taking it hard. But I'm like, if you were being defrauded for those couple of months, I could see why your reaction would be that. Like that would be my reaction too. I probably would have broken something too.
I mean, at this show, like especially this season, the cabin fever was really intense for me and I just felt everything. Like I didn't come on the show to be fake or try to be cool or pretend I'm too good for something. Like I literally just was like, I just felt so wronged. And I think sometimes it could be people, they're trying to make it like, it's so misogynistic. Like Hannah's just in love with him because he's so hot. She's so in love with him and she's crazy. And it really actually infuriates me. It's like, I never even wanted something with this boy. And then like, obviously like you fall for someone little and you like them. I mean, between me and you, I would never date someone without a sense of humor. So that's why I'm also like, guys, let's give me, like, I have feelings for the guy. I liked him, but I was never trying to introduce him to my parents. But then next thing you know,
he's not funny at all. Like, let's make that really clear. Like, there's not a funny bone there. I mean, maybe I just don't see it, but he's hot, but I don't see the funny.
So like, I personally, like, I need to be with someone funny if I'm going to have a long-term relationship. Like when we're old and you're ugly and I'm ugly and we're sitting on the couch, I can't listen to you talk to chipmunks. But like, I felt like, I mean, towards the end of the last season, he was like, Hannah, I want to, like, I want you to meet my family. I'm smitten with you. And I'm like, okay. I was just going with it. Like, I guess this guy likes me. Like, this is fun. We're on this like fun experience together. And then, it turned weird because we were hanging out every single night. You were there. You were on an interview with him and I was just on the couch.
You just popped up. I recognized your eyebrows. It was love at first eyebrow.
It was 10 p.m. We're together in his apartment as we always were. Like kiss hello, kiss goodbye, sleep in his bed. But his whole thing was like, I don't want to have sex, which is super weird. And people were like, he never had sex with you, not his girlfriend. It's like, well, what about all the emotion that's involved? And like even his words, like, oh no, I'm going to hurt you. It's like, okay, then stop calling me 3 times a day, like stop. And it's got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm playing house with this guy without any of the benefits. And I would see other people to like kind of try to be like, this is weird. But then like even in March, whenever the Danielle hookup was, he called me and didn't say I didn't hook up with her because I was hung up on my ex. He said, I told her I have feelings for you. So like it is all over the place. But the point is that we were in this like, I was the person he called for everything, career, like day to day, just what's happening in his day. He needs to check in. So like I had this boyfriend that I didn't really sign up for, but I was like, you know what? At least we have something like this special thing. I don't know what it is, but whatever. So I get to the house and he doesn't tell me about this girl. And he immediately sits me down to say he's like falling for her. I was just, and also he knew I had just met someone because I'm very open and honest with him. But I just was like, yeah, I'm talking to someone. I was like, don't play me. Don't you dare play me. And then when I talked to Sierra, I was like, oh my God, I'm being played. I'm being played. So I'm not one to like, I literally sat down calmly. It was just like, this is the information. I will let you explain yourself. I'll let you apologize. I'll let you do whatever. And his response was anger and to call me crazy. So that's.
And gaslighting. There was a lot of gaslighting. There was, have you heard of love bombing? Early in a relationship, I felt like there was a lot of love bombing. Like, I'm not going to sleep with you because I respect you.
I mean, I know he'd like hook up with girls and FaceTime me after and just be like, yeah, like I just like want to talk to you all night and stuff. And I feel like it's funny because, you know, like when I'm watching, it's hard because I was still in it. Like I was still sucked in. I was so like in the cycle. So watching it now, like I've had so many messages from women being like, I've been love bombed. Like I've been gaslighted and like explaining how their situation went. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like psych 101. But what I learned that was very interesting is like, it happens a lot to really powerful, strong people because like, because they kind of want to be with someone that looks good to make them look good because they're obsessed with their image. And then like behind the scenes, it's so different. But no, it wasn't healthy for me. And like, I'm kind of annoyed by castmates being like, Hannah's so in love with him. And he's the hottest guy Hannah would ever be with. And it's like, it's so disrespectful and rude. And it's just, it was upsetting to watch, especially with seeing now his sound bites. Like, it's very, the whole thing is very upsetting.
It's very misogynistic, like you said. And it's like when Carl said, like, oh, this is the hottest guy she'd ever get. Like, that seems like, why are you making that call? Like, what? I mean, he's hot, but he's no, like, guy from 365.
Also, imagine meeting a hot guy who's also smart and funny and caring and kind. Like, that's what I'm going for. And, like, I don't, I'm not making fun of you, Carl, for your decisions with dating. So just kind of leave me alone, you know?
Exactly. And you don't need to make those blanket statements. And
statements were really what, because it is so much more complex than just a black and white of like, Hannah had more feelings than she wanted to admit. It's not like that. I've always admitted I like the guy. Yeah, I never want to date him. And I think we were in this weird power struggle that got super unhealthy.
Absolutely. And also, you know, when people like have affairs and they say emotional affairs, I almost feel like you guys had so much emotions.
Oh my God.
That was where he did you wrong. It's like he gave you this like idea of a future and like wanting to be with you and you're the right girl and I'm not sure and I'm not good enough. And then it's like turns around and it's like, oh, this girl met my family and she came to Minnesota. And
he would always be like, I don't know what can be. Like, we could be friends. We could get married. Like, who knows what's going to be, but like, I'm just not ready now. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I just need attention. I was very like, I just need attention right now. So it was like, when I felt like he hid her from me and then tried to make it look like he was rejecting me on the show and like I was some crazy girl, I just fucking lost it. I just fucking lost it. And I know it might not look cool or together. I hope that some girls watch and realize, you know what? It's okay to be upset and it's okay to be hurt and it's okay to then move on and find someone who's right for you.
Absolutely. And what I loved about that whole situation is that you didn't turn on the girl. Oh. A lot of girls in that situation would turn on Sierra, right? Would be like, you're a bitch and like, and make it about her. But you were like, no, I'm making it about the dude.
Well,
like, he's
Sierra was actually very, very important to enlightening me. Cause when you're in it, you can't see it. And we had a really like a conversation where I was just like, pull up, like get your chair. What is happening? Because I wasn't aware of her, but I guess she was aware of me to an extent, but he's telling her the same stuff he's telling me. And she basically, I needed to hear it not from Amanda's mouth, not from Paige's mouth, who have their own situations with him. I needed to hear it from another girl. And that made me really comprehend it. And I like immediately got the ick.
Yeah. And I think it helped that she had a cat as well. I feel like that immediately bonded you.
Well, it's funny. It made it look like I was crazy. I was like, do you like cats? Which I've done to people before. But she was wearing a cat ring. And so I saw her ring and I was like, oh my God, do you love cats? And it's funny. That moment was like the beginning of like a very unique friendship with us. And I'm excited for you guys to see kind of where it goes because I just feel really lucky to have met her.
Hannah, I'm sure you've heard some of the flack that Summer House gets for being like a very all-white cast. And the way they brought in Ciara, I felt like was very organic and authentic. Obviously, she fit right into the story, which I really appreciated that. Like, how did she fit into the group?
Well, yeah, when it comes to like someone joining the group, regardless of their race or religion or what or sexuality, it's like they have to really mesh or it's just going to be awkward and weird because we are a tight group and we're hard to get along with. When Sierra walked in, I mean, immediately, I think people had a lot of respect for her because she was basically like, hey, I was a nurse during COVID the last couple months and I just like need to like chill out a little. And we were like, yes, welcome. And then obviously she liked cats. And she really like for a 24-year-old is so mature. And we kind of needed that kind of outer look where we've been friends for so long, this group, but having a new friend who could like give sane advice to some things, who's not like so deep in it, was something that I personally loved about her. I think I cried on her shoulder maybe a little too much. She's traumatized from it, but I will pay for her therapy if needed because I was like, she just kind of became the person that I would talk to because she didn't have any like bias and she didn't have any like, she just wasn't playing any games. She just is herself. And I just have like a lot of love for her.
Yeah, she seems easy to talk to. Like, she has that face where it's like, okay, I can tell you my problems without judging me. Yeah.
Also has a great sense of humor. It's natural. We started, like, something would happen and we would just make eyes and she would smile and I would smile. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to hate you. But now I don't have to because I like you.
I love that. I mean, again, like I said, like, I really, 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 I know I already said it, but I really respect that you didn't turn on her. Because that would be the normal inclination, is to be like, the girl's a bitch and she's a whore and like and all that. And you didn't.
Also, this is my first rodeo. I've dated a narcissist before. And I was just like, God damn it. I got caught again. we got to go back and work on some stuff. So, yeah, she was really enlightened me to help me and grow. And it's funny because I've heard a couple mumblings or Luke's worried that I'm trying to, you know, ruin it with him and Sierra. And I'm like, you're going to do that on your own. And also, I haven't really, like, I didn't ever see them having this, like, crazy chemistry. Like, if they were all over each other and clearly, like, so into each other, I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm so happy for you guys. But instead, he's still fucking texting me every night. So I was like, if you're going to want to be with this girl, leave me alone.
Exactly. Don't make me think something that it's not. Like, when I did a live with him, he was, like, in Minnesota at his lake house and talking to squirrels. And it's, like, this whole persona, like, narcissists are good at that. They create this persona where it's like, oh, I'm just a woodsman. I don't know anything. And it's like, you know what you're doing. So, please.
It's also, you've lived in New York for 20 years. So.
And you're a model. Like, you're in the modeling. Like, give me a break. You're in the fashion industry. Like, you know, come on. And he's like, I'm making Hannah maple syrup.
Oh, you know what's so funny?
Bullshit.
Never sent me maple syrup.
There you go.
It happened very early on. He went on live because he loves going on lives with me, which now I feel like honestly used and abused. Like, if you wanted me to just like get you followers, I would have done a swipe up and you could have saved so many calls, unnecessary calls of you blowing up my shit for so long. But he goes on a live and he's like, yeah, I'm going to send Hannah maple syrup. Like, I miss her, da da da. So all my followers were like, oh my God, Lucas sent you maple syrup. And I go, let's see. Hitting me up. Did he send it to you? I brought it up to him. Are you sending me maple syrup? He would just kind of like giggle. And I'm like, okay. But I love being loyal and I love connecting with people emotionally. Like, it's hotter for me for a guy to be like, wow, I love spending time with you and I love your mind, than a guy being like, you're hot, I want to fuck you. Because that is a dime a dozen. Sexless marriages there are, like, anyone who's like, oh, they didn't have sex. Also, I joke, but it's like it wasn't platonic. So
Hannah, I want to talk, because people are making it seem like sex is only penetration. I'm like, if you're
that's why I kept saying on Watch Happens Live, I was like, I mean, it has penis in my mouth twice, so I don't what like
but then that wasn't about? Enough
because someone don't, like, Catholic like, oh. People have anal when they don't have sex and they're like, oh, I haven't had sex. Also, yeah. People have tons of relationships that they choose not to have sex to just have emotional intimacy. So I'm getting fucking brutalized as this crazy girl because all I had was emotional intimacy with a man who was never platonic.
And, it was never platonic. And it was like, it was never,
you were
like,
there for the interview like in November or October.
Yes.
Like, yes. I was at his house. Like, we were a couple.
Mm-hmm. And he was trying to pretend like, oh no, we're just friends. I'm like, cut the bullshit. Like, my producer later was like, you were a little too aggressive with Luke. I'm like, because he was bullshitting me. He's like, oh, she's just a friend. She's just here. I'm like, I'm not dumb. Like, I know what it looks like.
I'm sorry, guys who are inviting you over to their house at 9 p.m. to like cuddle and like sleep in your bed and just like be with you. Like, that's some stuff that he needs to work on in himself. And I just hope the next girl doesn't have to go through what I did.
Exactly. Because it's the everything but girl, right? It's like that whole thing in high school. It's like, I don't do anything. I don't have sex. And it's like, again, that's such misogyny, is like focusing on only sex. Like, so let's say you guys did have sex. Would it make everything then okay? I don't know.
If I wish we had sex that first summer, because I would have gotten that dick and been like on to the next thing. Because I wouldn't have been like, oh, let's stay for the conversation. Like, Amir, it became this kind of like, it was a chase. Like, he was holding up on my head. Like, oh, we might. I don't know. And I don't think, and I'm not out here trying to be like, Luke is the fucking worst. I have my experience with him. My thing is, I hope that at least I can raise awareness for girls who have gone through similar things that you are not crazy. You are not crazy. You have very valid emotions. And also, you're going to say, I'm not one to, you know, burn a guy's house down, not, you know, key in your car. I don't give a shit. I just want to know when I can get out, when I know for sure that this is really bad for me. And once I'm out, I never look back.
Amen. And I love that you took it like a positive spin, because again, this whole idea that like Luke is your Moby Dick and it's like, if you got it, then you'd be over it. Like,
no, but he was trying to be like, thank God I didn't have sex with her. Like, if I had sex with him, I would have fallen madly in love with him. Honey, no. Let's not go there.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Let's be honest, most guys can't even get you off. Let's be honest. So this idea that he was going to get you off is ironic. I was like, okay.
Also, it is that misogynisticness of like, he's mm-hmm. like this good looking model. So like, she can't like, oh, she, when it's like, look, clearly I'm a shallow bitch. Clearly. And he's not the first gorgeous man that shouldn't have been in the same room as me that I've been dating. Cause guess what? I have a fucking personality and a great ass.
And also, people are making it seem like I'm
like,
making
it seem like I'm a fucking troll. Yeah, I'm like, guys, like, let's. But it's society that we live in. It's like, oh, because I haven't put fillers in my face and had fake boobs and like tried to change my aesthetic to look exactly like every girl on Instagram, I'm not worthy of whatever that is. Like, no, because you know, like, confidence in a nice ass goes a long way. So any girl listening, you could get any good guy you want with a good personality and confidence.
I mean, you're telling me, I have so many straight guys be like, oh, like, don't hit on me. And I'm like, honey, you're a 4 and you're wearing cargo shorts. Like, straight men have such an bloated sense of confidence.
Also, there's a difference between me loving his attention and me loving him. And I think that's very important for people to comprehend. Like, I guess Amanda is going to say, like, Hannah liked him a lot more than she put out. I was also always clear that I liked him and that I wanted to see if I could have sex with him. But it's crazy how you could get caught in something where next thing you know, you're an emotional blow-up doll for someone. But they could do whatever they want because they haven't had sex. And they're just – like, I would never call him. He would always call me. He's been pursuing me this whole time. So, like, it's just – I hope that's – the amount of messages I've gotten that people were like, oh, my God, I've been through this, made me feel less alone.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone in that situation. And what you said about, say it one more time about like wanting attention is different than falling in love. What did you say? Like,
loving someone's attention is very different than being in love with them. I was very aware that like there were many things about our life that were not like we could never date. Like, I knew that there's a lot of like he just wouldn't fit into my family. He wouldn't. There are things that he likes to do that I don't like to do, as in like he likes to, you know, go to the bar and like watch. Whatever, I personally don't like hockey, so that's the big issue. Also, not trying to live in Minnesota. Also, I mean, I don't want to go into the depth of it, but I'm not trying to be out here like I didn't want to date him. It's not a power struggle. The point is like I was hurt, and it doesn't always have to be a girl who's obsessed with this Prince Charming. And it's funny, if we're gonna get into it, Disney teaching women that like Prince Charming is always the and men is always the. You know, I got to be with the richest, the most famous, the most good looking guy. They're fucking narcissists, majority of them. I mean, you know, LA, how many of these famous guys are actually people that you'd want to father your child?
Not many. And I mean, I worked as a publicist with these people, and have so many issues, and a lot of them have small dicks. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of issues. Like, there's a lot going on that's not going to be in your favor. And and you're right. It's Disney, it's culture, and it's all these movies. I mean, first of all, you made a movie called Obsessed And you know, the one, what was the one with Jennifer Lopez, the guy next door? It's always these stories of like women being obsessed with a man. And it's like,
oh my God.
You're out. First of all, if you're looking at true crime, which I love, a lot of times the men are the ones doing all the crazy shit.
Also, girls are the first to be like they'll get upset, but they're the first to be like, I'm out. Like they say when guys fall, they fall harder. And like, it was really, really, I wish they were doing flashbacks of Luke being like, you know, I'm not ready for anything. And it's like, yeah, those are his words. And it's like, why don't you show when he was asking me to, begging me to go to Minnesota with his family? Like, what?
Yeah. It seemed like he took Ciara like as like kind of like a, oh, whatever, you can come meet my family. And he made it seem so casual.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, their whole situation, I learned stuff about that I was like, oh, I really dodged a bullet.
Yeah, no. I mean, let's be honest. He's not even going to fit into your life. I feel like I should have dated you. I fit better into your 100%. Life than he does.
Well, you're that's so the stupid thing. Like when he was like, we're friends. I'm like, wait. I have guys who are best friends. I have best guy friends. Like my best guy friend is Andrew Collin. He's a comedian. He calls me and we just fucking die laughing. He gives me honest advice about stuff. I've never had his dick near my mouth. And that's a guy friend. So like, I mean, it goes back to, can girls and guys be friends? No, especially if you've like had sexual tension or sex.
Yeah, you can't. If there is attraction, like even with gay men, like a lot of times gay men will sleep with their friends. And I've always tried to have that boundary. I mean, I've faltered a couple of times, but then I'm like, the friendship's not that good then. Like, then
you're 100%. Like, is this a friend? Me being like, wait, do you think he's going to have, like, I literally did a podcast with him, which is wild. I probably can't even listen to it because I'll be too triggered. And the title is, will he have sex with me? Like, it was, it got to be a joke. Like, it was a literal joke.
Well, I felt like, I mean, we're both comedians, so we do that where when things bother us, we make fun of it and we move past it.
I have to. I'm like, this is so insane.
But I know it hurt you. Like when you cried, I was like, oh my God, that would be me. And then it's good to just, I don't know why in America, like we have this obsession with like, when you cry, there's something wrong with you. No, you're getting it out.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You're moving buckle up, because this summer I let it out. And I'm a highly sensitive person in that, like when I feel you're someone who I trusted, like I get really hurt. And and the crying was not like, oh, he didn't pick me. It was never like that. No one's picking anyone. We're never even getting there. It was feeling like the guy I thought I knew just was completely not him. And he wasted so many hours of my life calling me on the phone, me listening to him vent about everything in his life, just being his emotional girlfriend. And I mean, I have like 40 voicemails from him on my phone right now, just as receipts, just in case, you never know. But it's like, it's just like,
you should publish those like Monique Samuels did with the binder. You should just print all those.
I don't have a printer because I'm a millennial, but I'll try to figure it out. Maybe I'll go to a Staples if they have COVID. No, too many COVID restrictions. We'll think on it.
Yeah, think about how you can use those voicemails, because I feel like you could do something funny. You could do like a story time with the voicemails or something. I don't know.
Something. Oh my God, you are bringing out the messy in me. It's
sorry,
so funny.
I can't help it. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. I'm like, let's be messy. Oh listen, God, you know I love Luke. I think he's so sweet. Like I messaged him when he was in flight attendant. I was like, good for you. Like whatever, you're doing your thing. I don't hate the guy and I don't want him to think that like, I just... what he represents is what I hate.
You nailed it. And like, I don't hate him any. I've never like hated him. I just felt like, damn, I got stuck with a person who was very unhealthy for me in his patterns. And I wish him the best. And I hope other people learn from it. And also I don't talk to me ever again. Like all due to respect, you don't have if you were not romantic, you don't have a place in my life, because I need to have healthy relationships with other guys. What am I going to do when I'm seeing someone be like, oh yeah, this male model who calls me 3 times a day and wants to talk for hours, he's just my friend though. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Did you guys hook up? Yeah, but like, we're just friends. Jesus Christ.
It's too much. It's too much emotional like whiplash. I just can't keep up.
I know. And people oversimplify it so easy on social media. And I feel sometimes I'm like, fuck, like I can't, how do I explain this? But it's like not worth it sometimes.
No, you don't explain yourself, because the people that know you, like people have been following you, like know who you are. And with your, you know, your tweets and your Instagram and stuff, they should know that you're not the type of girl to like make something out of nothing. So like, they
100%. You don't also, need to they yourself. Watched it. Like they're like, we've seen all your interactions, all your lives. I posted in March a photo of us kissing. Like, mm-hmm. then the show was airing, so obviously, like, it was, he was jumping all over that and all on us. So it's like, and then we went straight to the house. So, like, nothing is made up.
I don't trust anyone that's on a reality show that says, I don't like attention, which is what he said to me. And
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm here for the right reasons. This isn't The Bachelor, okay?
Yeah. He's like, I'm here for my acting career. Okay. All right.
Well, you're very good at acting because you faked the whole entire thing, probably. So you're an amazing actor. Because I actually thought, you deserve an Emmy for faking whatever bullshit that was for a year.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first, guys. Luke Gulbranson is up for an Emmy.
I mean, I feel like even being like, you deserved a bigger role than being an extra on The Flight Attendant. You should have starred in it because you are an incredible actor.
I love that that was wrapped up in a little shade, too. I liked that. You are too much. I want to talk about, let's move on from the Luke debacle. I mean, I think that you really did a good job because I think a lot of people are going to hear this and be like, I need to step away from this narcissist, like, especially during COVID. Better to be alone than with a narcissist. Let me tell you that.
But like, sometimes when you're lonely and someone's calling you all the time, you're just like, I'm going to answer. And I think
just get a good vibrator. Thank you.
I know.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's a hard pattern to get out of because narcissists like fill you up with that, like those oxytocin, like they get you that love and you're like, oh, I feel good. And then it's all fake. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, anyways, I'm about to cry myself. Oh, I'm remembering all the narcissists that I've had to deal with.
This is the thing. Like, it's a pattern. Like, I've dated people like this before. I've also dated some incredible people, but doing this has helped me see the flags and knowing like when something is right. And like, I knew it was wrong with him from day one, but like, I was enjoying, like, he kept, like, I didn't have to try. It was just coming to me. And I was like, okay, I guess this is it. So then being thrown into the situation was super, like, it was embarrassing what he did. So then I had my pride and I was really upset, but instead of getting angry, I just cried.
Right. Well, I mean, it's one or the other for me too. Like, I'm either really angry and I'm like, I'm not going to talk to you and I'm just going to ignore you, or I get really emotional. So I kind of relate to that. And I mean, even his parents were kind of like, when he was FaceTiming, they're like, how's Hannah? And he was like, let's move on.
Yeah, because like, she calls me all the time, his mom. We were basically like, I was his girl.
Crazy. It's crazy.
But no, I'm crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's how, but this is America. Like, this is the misogynistic culture. And this happens with gay men too. If you're an emotional gay man or you're like more feminine, like I am, mm-hmm. I get the same misogyny as well. Oh, like I had a guy tell me once, like, he's like, if you worked out more and you were a little bit, you had more testosterone, like you wouldn't be so emotional. I'm like, so you know my testosterone levels by looking at me?
Also, so there is nothing wrong with having emotion. Like,
who cares?
I mean,
and also everyone has estrogen and testosterone.
I'm telling you right now, girl, I let it fly this season because I feel like in past seasons I was more controlled of like, like, don't break, don't go crazy, don't be crazy, and like, forgive people really easily. And just like, but I came in being like, if I'm stuck in this house for 7 weeks with these people, I'm having a backbone. And that's why I think with the Lindsay thing, like, I nipped that shit in the bud. Like, people say what they want, but like, she didn't mess with me rest of the summer. And then the Luke thing, nipped that, tried to deal with that. And you're going to see there's more fighting. And I was just like, I'm not just going to be bullied. Like, I'm just not.
I can't wait to see who you call Blonde Leprechaun. I think it's Kyle, but I'm not sure. So I'm excited. I was like, Blonde Leprechaun, that's quite an image. I like that.
Oh my God.
And the yelling, I think it's like a lot of Summer House is the men yelling at the woman. And I love that you're kind of putting your foot down on that.
Well, what is up with that? And like, it sounds like I said, like, oh, I hate when men yell at me. And it's like, yeah, everyone does. And like, yeah, it's happened to me in the past a lot, like male coaches. But I do want to make it clear, like, my dad has never like been a yeller or a cursor or any of that. Like, he was my coach, so we'd like get into it. But the yelling is just a new thing that like I've never dealt with men. And in my own relationships, I've never tolerated. Just cause I don't find, like, anger is my biggest pet peeve with people. Like, you can't control your anger. Like, how can you control, like, it's scary.
It is scary. Well, I think that for me, like, we both played tennis, like, real, like, intensely and professionally. Like, I had coaches, they would yell at you, they would throw tennis balls at you. I mean, they can be very aggressive.
Oh, my God, yes. So, I was getting pegged all the time. Once after a match, a coach, like, poured a bottle of water all over my head. Like, then you're just, like, physically abused. Like, they're like, okay, just keep running until I tell you to stop. Or, you know, the courts are, like, so hot and you're doing a plank and you're just getting fucking, like, burned. And it's, like, it was torture. But it made me who I am. But now I'm a grown ass woman. So don't talk to me like that.
Amen. I mean, it's funny because a lot of people are like, wasn't coming out really hard. And I'm like, no, I was an 8-year-old playing professional tennis. I literally had an asthma attack and the coach was laughing.
Yep. Yep.
Like,
oh, do you remember me like, wouldn't let you get water? Like, it was like weak to get water. I'm like, you need water.
Like, I'm playing in California. It's so hot. They're like, and you have those like brown courts, you know, those brown, like, what is it, US Open?
Oh my God.
It's like so hot. And I'm like, I have asthma. And they're like, asthma's in your head. I'm like, what?
It's mental. Yeah. It's the abuse. It's rampant.
Like, when I saw the pictures of you as a kid playing tennis, I was like, that was me.
Yeah.
Like, that was crazy.
Yep.
That was so funny. But yeah, I mean, Summer House is going to be really good. I want to talk about Bravo Chat Room. Like, how is that going? You're doing such a good job. I'm loving seeing you as a host.
Oh my God, thank you. Well, I think that before Summer House, I was doing like a lot of like producing of like funny videos and comedy. And then I started my podcast Burning in Hell. And then Summer House was like a fun thing to do, but it wasn't like my passion. And the fact that Bravo's kind of given me this opportunity to like see me in a different light and be able to like laugh at stuff and comment on it from the outside has been just like great. And it was actually Kate Chastain who I'd known a little bit. Like, I had her on my podcast, we've seen each other at events and we always hit it off, and she was the one who was like putting the show together and was like, you have to try out for it. And then we did a bunch of chemistry tests, and like Portia and I naturally just like were just the biggest goofballs. Like, sometimes we'll just make noises like meh, 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 and we'll do it. Like, she's really fucking famous, and I was fully expecting to meet her and be like nervous, and like maybe she's like just didn't have time for me. I don't know. Like, famous people sometimes are the worst. She is the most like lighthearted, funny. And then Giselle comes in. At first I thought Giselle was gonna like kind of be like really formal and like, you know,
she's
the first
too.
lady, and like I feel like I bring a side out to her where she's just like, I mean, she has girls who are teenagers, so she just kind of loves like being in the know, and she is the best kind of messy, where like she feels the type of way and she just says it, and you can like she is, I love them both for so many different reasons. And then obviously Kate Chastain is hilarious in every sense of the word, and her attitude is just like, you just look at her and you're
attitude's like, amazing. Yeah. Like her smoking cigarettes is like,
when she pulled this, because you know, we're doing this show all virtual. So in the beginning we had like a lot of technology issues where like someone's internet broke, or like so, and we would just have like hours where we're just sitting there, and like she pulled out a cigarette and I was fucking dead. Like, she wasn't even pretending, she wasn't, she was like lighting it up. But actually recently we got new cameras and better audio, so these next like 12 episodes are going to be better in terms of quality. Just FYI.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I relate to the Wi-Fi issue. I feel like my Wi-Fi is from Russia. It keeps going in and out. So I understand the Wi-Fi issues, believe me. So a lot of people were like, you know, Kate left the show. So a lot of people were like, I know she's on Galley Talk for Below Deck, but a lot of people were like, you know, people were messaging me. They're like, oh, she's not following Portia. Like, you know, there's some drama. But do you think that's because it's just four women working together and people are looking for drama?
Oh my God. Or is 100%. They always got along really well. I don't know any details of like behind the scenes, but for all Kate basically told us like she has some other opportunities, she's moving on. And I also think this show with four people was sometimes a little hard. Like, imagine a Zoom with four people and you're all trying to get it in. So I think it was like a natural just next step of the show. And she fucking like created it and like uplifted it and made it amazing. And then it's like she's on to other things. So I'm really proud of her.
I love that. Yeah. And I think that that's sometimes in this industry, like, especially when I've worked with like an all gay cast or women, there's always like, what's the drama? Who hates who? And I'm like, you don't ask men that.
Oh my God. Well,
do you ever ask?
What I love about Summer House is we have the pettiest men. So like,
your men are so petty.
Like the messiest shit. Like, I fight with men the entire time. this season.
Well, they're triggering because I think the men that are on Summer House are like those man children. They've never quite like, and I love them. I talk to Carl, like I don't have anything against these men. They never grew up. You know, they're kind of stuck.
Well, Carl is very sweet. We love Carl.
He is. Yeah, he's like grown up in certain ways, but again, their yeah. mentalities are still like, it's very caveman. Like you see a woman in a bathing suit and all of a sudden your mind's activated to like that lizard brain. So I don't know. That's the only thing with these men.
Yeah.
But
yep.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
It's entertaining.
It's entertaining. There you go. How is Giggly Squad? I mean, you guys created this whole thing from the giggles about the wedding. And I didn't realize that's where it came from until I saw the episode. I was like, well, that's where it came from?
Like, so, yeah, we were like hammered the first night and we were all at dinner and like Lindsay brought up like their wedding and Kyle was going on like the longest speech about like why he's the best fiance in the world. And Paige and I thought it was funny. Like it was funny. And we were giggling and then he fucking lost it on us. Like lost it. Fuck you. Fuck you. And he's like, the Giggly Squad. And then I was like, look, I'm a petty ass bitch. And I'm not, when he's cursing at me, I'll let him curse at me. Say whatever you want about me. But I'm Sicilian. I forgive, I will never forget. So I'm like, I'm going to use that and now make money off it. And it's very fun for me. And Paige and I, oh my God, we just have so much fun together and just this natural chemistry. It's like the easiest hour of my week where we just vent. Mm-hmm. And it started as during quarantine, we did an hour every night for 3 months at 10 p.m.
You guys were crazy. I saw every time I was going live. You were going live. And I think that me and you probably went live more than anyone else on the internet.
Well, it's funny because some people, like actually Craig and Austin were also going live while we would do, and Austin would message me and he'd be like, how are you guys doing it so much? And because they'd go on, I go, you guys go on for 6 hours and get hammered.
They get so they drunk. They were
for 6 hours hammered. And then I'm like, do 1 hour and don't drink. And he's like, yeah, we can't do that. So we had our fun little like back and forth where we make fun of each other's lives. But then Summer House started. And then, like, our lives picked up again. I got chat room. And then I was like, okay, let's turn this into a podcast because these people are, like, we felt like our family. Like, they really got us through quarantine.
They're intense, man. They were messaging me. Like, I got so many of your Giggly Squad people messaging me after that interview being like, tell us everything about Hannah. How often do you talk to her? I'm like, we message every so often. They were like, are you guys friends? What's the history? You both played tennis. Like, they started looking up my history.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, they are committed.
Well, the Giggly have time on their hands. They are quarantined.
they are committed.
And yeah, I think it was great. But also, I think it might have been like when we go into the house, it was like hard that we didn't have them. And like, yeah. Right. But you factored all in when you're watching this season is all I have to say.
I love that. I love that. Recently, I know that, you know, Paige got in some hot water when she made a comment about Bridgerton. Mm-hmm. But she was so quick to give that apology. And she's so lovely. And she's so quick to kind of correct. Mm-hmm. Like, when she said it, did you think, oh, that's not great? Or was it just like,
you guys were just in the moment? Well, if you listen to what was said, she was, I think you should be James Bond because he's so hot. And I never saw it. So I was like, can you please explain it? And she was describing him and we learned that like it is colorism to even be discussing the lightness of someone's skin. And we
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so we learned we went to like we did some like diversity training specifically about colorism. We were watching these documentaries and we kind of took that week to understand it. And it was like we learned from it like a lot. And it also was like, holy shit, like it sucks sometimes to have a hard situation to learn, but like we learned stuff that I would have never even delved into just being like an ally.
Damn, I respect that because I feel like I'm on the, you know, being Persian and Muslim and all this stuff. Like I always think I'm on the like, I know what's going on, but like I didn't know that even discussing like fairness or light skinness or whatever.
Well, in like, a lot of cultures, color- like yeah. especially in Asian cultures and Spanish cultures, mm-hmm. Like there is colorism within the community of like the darker skin and like as a white person we can be like we don't always know the extent of that, so it was just great to learn. And I highly advise there's a documentary called Dark Girls that was really insightful just to learn more about like the history of it and how it could be problematic.
Oh, wow. I mean, I it's stuff that you just don't even think about. And like, I was in India for a wedding a couple years ago, and people were obsessed with how light I was. Mm-hmm. And I was blonde at the time, and there's like bleaching creams, and it gets really complicated.
Yes. Yeah. So it's interesting to hear your experience too, how people are aware of it. So it was honestly just such a important thing that happened. And you also don't want to feel like, okay, now I can't talk on stuff, because you want to still be an ally and you don't want to be scared and of like saying the wrong thing. So it's important to, when you make mistakes, to learn and to grow and continue being an ally.
Absolutely. And I, you know, as someone who is an LGBTQ activist, mm-hmm. and I always tell people, like when I used to have live events, people would ask questions like, this might be a dumb question, or I don't want to offend. And I'm like, it's better to offend and come from a good mm-hmm. place than to come from this, like, I'm never going to speak on it and use my white privilege or cis privilege or whatever and never talk on stuff. Because then you're not really doing anyone any
service. You're 100% right.
That's great. I love that you guys actually, like most people that get in these situations, they're like, I'm going to go learn. And they go to like the Four Seasons and that's it. But I love that you guys actually like tried to
learn. No, because like we talk every week. And like if we didn't learn from it, who knows what other stuff like we can talk on that what could potentially be problematic. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and also things are changing. Like people are like learning more and more things, and we have to stay up on it. So it's important that we are public voices. And we were really, really invested in BLM in terms of like our lives. We started doing fundraisers and seeing the community we built of people who wanted to just donate their own money to a random live to help like Black Girls Code, or like there was stuff with like transgender activism. And it was just like so nice for people to be like, let's get out of our own heads for a second and like give to someone that needs help.
That's awesome. And I noticed that, like I noticed on both of your pages, it wasn't like, oh, one black square and that's all we're going to do. Uh-huh. But like you guys were actually doing things. So I respect that, because it's something to say, I'm going to do a black square and I care about black people, than to actually put that into action.
I mean, I was so upset about the Capitol rioting. I like went off, did not even send it to anyone, and just like wrote this like paragraph about how fucking pissed I am about how people are following a narcissist. And I lost like 5,000 followers in a second, and I was like, you know what? Good riddance.
That's what happens, because sometimes it's like cleaning out house, you know, like sometimes you need to know who your followers are, and you know, some of those 5,000 were probably, you know, not people you need to be mm-hmm. following you. Mm-hmm. So but a lot of people won't speak up because they don't want to lose those followers, but they don't understand that that's not your demo. Like, you don't want those people. Well, anyway,
I want people who think I'm funny or think I'm entertaining or whatever. I want them to be anti-racist.
Exactly. I love that. And I love that you said anti-racist. Listen, girl, you're on point. And speaking of that, being funny, I know you've done a couple Zoom shows. Are you going to jump back into comedy shows when things open up?
Like, what's I was in the middle of my comedy tour. I did Dynasty Typewriter in LA, and then I went to.
Remember, I was going to come. Oh my God, yes. I couldn't make it.
It was so fun. And then I went to San Francisco.
Doesn't that feel like it was 10 years ago, girl? Dynasty Typewriter feels like
it was 10 years ago. I can't even remember my jokes. So it was March 9th that I did San Francisco. And then my mom was like, you need to get your ass home. And when I got home, that was it. And I was doing comedy every day for a year. Like every night I would just be in like a restaurant or bar or club just practicing. So it's weird that I'm like, oh, shoot. I feel like I did all that work and I wasn't able to do the tour. But the second we can like – I don't want like 25%, 50%. I want to be like everyone feels secure that I'm going to go back on tour and mm-hmm. really invest my time into it. Because right now I'm like, I'll invest my time into my virtual stuff. And then the second we're like, we're good, we feel comfortable, then hopefully I can go.
I love that. Would you ever do a show with Dez? I know he's
100%.
A comedian. That would be
the hardest part about stand-up sometimes. It could be lonely, like traveling to random places alone, like you have random openers or whatever. So if we had a show together, and he also like is such an incredible stand-up comedian. He's like in Ireland, he's one of the top comedians, has done so many things with his career, documentaries, like Dancing with the Stars. Wow. Like he's also been great.
Yeah, he did Dancing with the Stars. I was dead. I was like, he's a real star.
He's like a legitimate star in Ireland. So I'm very new to like getting this kind of attention. So like he's been really helpful in terms of just like coping with stuff. And also as a comedian, I respect him so much to just like learn from him. And he also like really believes in me and my talent, which is super important, obviously, in a healthy relationship. So I'm just excited for what kind of we can also create together in the future, besides just like love, but just creativity.
Oh. I better be invited to this fucking wedding. Hannah Berner Bishop. Berner Bishop is so cute.
Oh my
it's
God,
double B.
I know.
I'm obsessed with
that. He told me
that.
I don't have so to change cute. My last name because it's my brand. And I said, thank you.
Yeah, Burning in Hell. Yeah, Bishop, Bishop in Hell is going to work Shit. As well. Bishop in Hell is not going to work
we
as well.
We love a feminist man who's, and I was like, could our kids have our last name, my last name? And he was like, we'll think about it. And I'm like, okay, we'll see.
I love it. That's so nice. That a man that gets it. And he's 6'4", am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, honey. God, honey. So good. I might hug him too long when honestly, I meet him, but it's
should.
Okay.
You should.
Allow
he's,
it. You'll
allow it. Yeah. Spread the love.
Spread the love. I love it. I'm happy that you're like in such a healthy place. And I think that there's been all this news about Winterhouse. Is this real?
Oh, I cannot confirm or deny.
Okay. Because it seems to me, it seems like it's a joke, but I don't think people have been posting about it. So I'm like, it can't be a joke, but it just sounds like Game of Thrones, like Winterfell, Winterhouse.
I mean, I joke that this summer was the Hunger Games. So yeah, who knows? Who knows where they're going next?
I love it. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. But yeah, I don't know. That seems like a lot. But oh, you know, this is the one thing I was going to tell you about with Luke that I forgot is when you were flirting with Austin and he was so upset. That doesn't seem like a man that's just in it for the cuddles.
That was just the beginning of it all. I like hooked up with British Dave during the winter and he like got so mad.
Well, British Dave was sweet.
We love British Dave.
How many crop tops do you have? This is really
oh my god. I have well, this is the thing about me. Since I've been in entertainment, I've learned that I have a long torso and shorter legs. So I love wearing high-waisted pants and a crop top because like I do love my torso, but also like it helps make your legs look longer. And also I do like so many zooms. So like you can't even notice the crop top. But it's become a thing because the girls like Giselle's like, are you showing your belly button again? And I'm like, yes.
I love when you have to stand up to show it off.
But yeah, it's more just like a fashion for my body type that I recommend for people who have nubby legs like me.
I love it. And remember, crop tops were invented by straight men. Anyone who says men can't wear crop tops, or they can because men and
that is so. You're like, for anyone who wants to talk shit about me wearing crop tops.
Exactly. That's my opportunity. Don't. Yeah, to say that. Oh my God. I love it. I can't wait to see more of Summer House. It's on every Thursday night. I love it. It's my like, you know, calm during the pandemic.
I'm glad one of us is calm during it.
I just love seeing what the fuck you guys are going to make in those toaster ovens. It's like Sonia Morgan. You guys are making fucking like filet mignon in the toaster
oven.
Oh my
God. Like, I was never in the kitchen, so I didn't even know what was happening.
Amazing. That's too much.
It's we were legit much. Ordering takeout and it would come to the door and we'd go back downstairs.
I mean, it's like, yeah. And then Carl being in charge of the house is kind of a shock, too.
We love that for him because turns out, like, when you're not hungover, you can do so much.
Right? That, like, I've been so much more
when
put
he was,
together,
like, doing his bed, I was like, okay, I could watch this all day. Carl doing his bed.
It kind of was oddly relaxing.
It was very therapeutic for me.
Very therapeutic. I was not mad at it. What do you want to leave us with? Tell me one last thing.
Oh yeah. I just want to leave us with, the energy should be vulnerable, be open, make mistakes and just keep going on. There's going to be ups and downs, but eventually just if you continually yourself, you'll find yourself in the right place.
Love that. That's so deep. And I think I'll add one more thing. Don't let fuckboys ejaculate in your mouth. I think
yeah, but it does happen to the best of us. So don't be upset. It's not your fault.
It does. It's happened to me too, but just spit. Just spit. That's just the way to deal with it.
Oh my God, I love you.
That's how you keep it even. That's how you keep the, you know, the power struggle even. I love you. You're the best. Tell us where everyone can follow you if they're not
everyone
already.
Everyone can follow me at Being Burns, BEINGBERNZ. Listen to Burning in Hell, listen to Giggly Squad, and watch Chat Room and Summer House.
You busy bitch. That's the longest any of my guests. Like, you're doing.
I'm exhausted, but it's okay.
I love it. You're looking good. When I saw you on the video earlier, you were looking good. It's fine. And please come to LA and give me a hug.
I can't wait to be back.
Okay, love
you.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Take On.
The Take On is produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Kyle Moore, and is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and The Take On at bpn.fm/TheTakeOn. And of course on my Instagram at Amir Yass Official. Yes, honey, we're official. Make sure to subscribe and rate The Take On wherever you stream your podcast and keep tuning in for more amazing guests.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.